Greetings and welcome to Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And this episode of Word Magazine, I would like to share with you a note that I received this past week related to the last Word Magazine podcast episode. This note came from one of our dear listeners, and we always welcome comments and feedback on this podcast. So in the spirit of openness and fairness, I thought it might be best if I would just read this note in its entirety and share it with our listening audience. So without any further ado, here is the statement that I received. Dear Pastor Riddle, my name is Dr. J.P. Blurry. That's Blurry with a B, PhD. And I am writing in response to your recent Word Magazine podcast number 211, titled Childers, Gurry, Text, and Apologetics. Though I have completed a terminal degree at a very prestigious and well-known university in the field of textual criticism, I still proudly identify myself as an evangelical and am more than happy to interpret the nuances of this complicated and highly technical topic for those less educated on this matter. In my humble opinion, your comments in Word Magazine number 211 clearly show that you do not fully understand or appreciate the great accomplishments which have been achieved by means of the art and science of modern textual criticism. I would therefore like to offer some corrective responses and supplementary information for your audience so that they are not misinformed or misled regarding the heroic work of those textual critics who have answered the call to labor in the fields of ancient manuscripts, which are truly white unto harvest. Regarding the autographs, as Bible-believing evangelical scholars who work in textual criticism, we want to reconstruct the autograph of Scripture, while at the same time also making it perfectly clear that the autograph actually does not exist, and we can never reliably reconstruct it. At best, we can only reconstruct an initial text, which is the text as far back as we think we can reliably determine it. But one must never make the naive assumption that this initial text is actually the authorial text. So in contrast to obscurantist TR advocates like yourself, who mistakenly follow the now outdated path of men like Manton, Owen, or Turretin, in holding that the traditional apograph is the autograph, we want to reconstruct the original text of the apostles, except we concede that it is impossible for us ever successfully to do this, as far as we know. For, as one of our leading scholars has recently put it, even if we reconstructed the autograph, we would never be able to know for certain that we had actually accomplished this feat. Regarding method, we can describe modern textual criticism as the task of examining the variants in order to reach a firm conclusion as to which variant is probably responsible for the origin of the other variants, even though we admit that many times scholars in our discipline using the same method reach very different conclusions as to which variant is probably original. This, however, brings little concern to us, since we realize that to make objective judgments, we must rely on subjective methods. Regarding the earliest and best manuscripts, for us, it is axiomatic that the earliest extant manuscripts are the best manuscripts, while also acknowledging that sometimes the later manuscripts contain readings that are earlier than the earliest manuscripts. This means that we should follow the earliest manuscripts except for those passages where the later manuscripts preserve readings that are earlier and better than the earliest and best. This is the case even though admittedly there is no objective way of determining when the earliest manuscripts are the best manuscripts or when the later manuscripts are better because they have readings that are better and earlier than the earliest and best manuscripts. So to sum up, one should generally go with the earliest and best manuscripts, even though we can't really be completely sure which readings are the earliest and best, or whether later manuscripts might possibly be the earliest and best. Regarding the number of manuscripts, now you should rest assured that the modern reconstructed method of textual criticism is reliable, because it is based on such a large number of extant Greek New Testament manuscripts, currently estimated to number about 5,300. This means we probably have enough extant evidence to give a rough approximation of what the New Testament text might possibly be, except for those places where we admit that our method leaves us in the dark as to what the text actually is, which is in fact nearly all, if not entirely all, of the New Testament. The thing to remember is that after a century of scientific textual criticism, though we might not yet know how many manuscripts we actually have, or which are the earliest and best, we probably have a lot of them. And though it might take many lifetimes for any scholar properly to examine and comprehend all the evidence, it is still feasible for various scholars occasionally to make confident claims about what the approximate text of the New Testament may or may not be. Regarding comparison between the extant New Testament manuscripts and the extant works of antiquity, in comparison to works of classical antiquity, it should be noted that we have a wealth of New Testament information that makes our classicist colleagues absolutely green with envy. Except that this assertion has been overblown by some uninformed scholars who continue to make outdated claims about the number of extant classical works that exist in comparison to the number of extant New Testament manuscripts, drawing on the now outdated figures provided by F.F. Bruce. Bruce is great, except he's wrong and bad. So, we have better information than the classicist, except when we don't. So, we should not claim that we do, except in those cases where we might. So, in summary, we should weigh the manuscripts rather than count them, except in those cases where the modern text is supported by the majority text, or the TR is supported by a minority. We must use a consistent methodology, except in those cases where an inconsistent methodology is more useful for correcting the outdated traditional text. Regarding variants, we all know that Bart Ehrman has consistently attempted to undermine the authority and reliability of the New Testament text by pointing to the scribal errors. All we have are copies of copies, he's fond of saying. Many become overly concerned about these variants. When John Mill suggested in 1707 that there were over 30,000 mistakes in the manuscript tradition, they became very nervous. They became even more concerned 100 years later when Frederick Nolan suggested that there were more than 100,000 such scribal errors. My colleague, Peter Gurry, that's Gurry with a G, not with a B, not to be confused with me, attempted to counter Ehrman and allay the fears of nervous evangelicals by pointing out that there are, in fact, 500,000 errors. He was clear to make certain that his readers knew that none of those probably held any importance for any cardinal doctrine of Scripture. I, however, want to take things a step further and share with you and your listening audience some of my most recent research. I now predict with great confidence that there are possibly over 1 billion scribal errors. We must not see this as a challenge to our faith, but an opportunity. For you see, the more variants that exist, the more each individual Christian will be able to reconstruct his own unique Bible without trespassing on the Bible of his neighbor. I predict that once the CBGM is complete, it will be unlikely that any two Christians in the whole world will have the same Bible. That, my friend, is what we call progress in this discipline. Regarding confidence in the text of Scripture, as conservative evangelicals, I want you to rest assured that we in the Guild want to defend the reliability and certainty of Scripture, while also remembering that we can never be completely sure what the text of the New Testament actually is. We believe that we have been called to do for our generation what men of old, like Origen, Jerome, Erasmus, and especially the Protestant reformers did for their generation. We want to place the Bible back into the hands of the people. The problem is that the people keep choosing the wrong text, the traditional one. So, in order to give the Bible back to the people, we must first take the Bible away from the people. To build the text, we must destroy the text. Follow me here. To have confidence in the Bible, we must be uncertain and unsure of what the Bible is. The sad thing is that too many uninformed Christians are misguidedly holding on to the certainty of the traditional text, when to be truly conservative, they must change it. To avoid narrow fundamentalism, we must insist that the only opinion on the text can be that which conforms to our modern scientific methodology. To escape the shackles of fundamentalism, we must narrowly enforce the rules of the Guild and exclude those who reach conclusions that differ from ours. I hope that you and your listeners will have ears to hear and accept these clarifications that I have offered in the spirit in which they were intended. Sincerely, Dr. J. P. Blurry, Ph.D. And there ends the letter that I received, the statement, I guess we could call it, that I received from Dr. Blurry. We appreciate that, and I'm happy to read such statements as this as they come in from our dear readers. This will bring this episode of Word Magazine to a conclusion. I hope that you will find this helpful and edifying, and I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next edition of Word Magazine. Till then, take care and God bless.